Testing in the House Chamber, 59th Legislative Day.
The House will come to order and members will take their seats and visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Warren. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Lord God, we come humbly before you this morning to ask your guidance and blessings as we prepare to execute the responsibilities of the task you have called us to perform. Lead us, make the best decisions that do the most good for the most people that it can as we consider the many proposals that will come before us this day. We thank you for your patience, your understanding, and your tolerance of our shortcomings. Please grant this request we make of you this morning, we pray. Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal from May the 11th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative McNeil moves that the journal from May 11th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The roll of clerk reports the following bill duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. Senate Bill 171, an act removing the cap of satellite annexation for the town of Belleville and Wingate, removing certain described property from the corporate limits of the town of Surf City, and removing certain prescribed property from the corporate limits of the city of Asheboro.
Chapter bills will be noted. Introductions of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read.
Representative Moffitt, House Bill 927, Western NC Outdoor Organizations Funds.
Appropriations, if favorable rules. Actually, the clerk will suspend. We'll resume those back in just a few moments upon the recess. Mr. Court members, chair directs that House Bill 669, the short title is Distribute Alcohol Without Discrimination, be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, be referred to the Committee on Alcoholic Beverage Control, if favorable, see your referral to rules. First, I want to recognize some guests we have in the gallery. We have the senior class from the Faith Christian School joining us from Randolph County, and on behalf of Representative McNeil of Randolph County, we're going to extend the courtesies of the gallery to ask my colleagues to join me in welcoming these folks. If y'all would stand, please. Thank you for having you with us today. If you're wondering why there's only a handful of us here, we were in session till a little after 10 o'clock last night. We're in what's called crossover week, and we will be coming back in for the actual voting session this afternoon at, I believe, 2:30 today. So this is what's called an admin session where we read in and receive reports, and other committees are meeting in the other buildings that will be taking up bills that will also be added to today's calendar. So we're honored to have you with us today, and we hope you have a great visit to Raleigh as well. So thanks for being with us. Members, we're about to go into recess, and the chair is going to put the House in recess subject to the standard rules under Rule 15.1, but also allowing modification of the calendar so that the bills that are being reported from the committees can go ahead and be calendared, and that can be done during our recess and save some time once we come back in for the full session at 2:30 today. It does appear that we are getting most of the bills resolved today. Undetermined yet if we'll need to have votes tomorrow. We're just working through it, but it looks like we're on a really good pace right now to get our business transacted full 24 hours in advance of when we need to do so. So Thank you all for the hard work, and certainly appreciate the staff, the work that the clerk's office, central staff, sergeant arms, and everyone else is doing to help us as we go through these tasks. Today's calendar, like yesterday's calendar, I forget how many bills we had. It was 70 bills yesterday, and so today's calendar, as you can see, is quite a robust calendar, and I would anticipate the bills that come through rules today to be they will be added to today's calendar, and they should all be loaded up on the dashboard by the time we come in this afternoon. If there's some others being added, of course, we'll give notice of that as well. So with that being said, we're moving quite well, and as I say, we may be able to transact the remainder of the business today, but would expect that when we come into session at 2:30, it probably will be a full day and probably go into some part of the evening, just depending on how long some of the debate goes on the bills. Before we go into recess, do we have any notices or announcements? Clerk, have anything? Thank you. Yes, the chair would direct that all messages being sent to the Senate as well as the governor be sent by special message today and tomorrow. Any notices or announcements for any members? If not, the chair is going to declare that the House stands in recess subject to the standard stipulations of Rule 15.1 as well as modifications to the calendar to reconvene at 2:30 this afternoon. The House is in recess. Chair will modify the previous order on the special message. It will be special message to the Senate. As far as any special message to the governor, the chair will deal with that on a case-by-case basis.
Introduction of bills and resolutions, starting with House Bill 928. Clerk will read.
Representative Moffitt, Kristen Baker, and Sasser, House Bill 928, Opioid Overdose Prevention Pilot Program Funds.
Appropriations of favorable rules.
Representatives Alexander, Harrison, Cunningham, and Carney, House Bill 929, North Carolina Medical Cannabis Act.
Rules.
Representative Graham, House Bill 930, Birth Certificate Information.
Appropriations, favorable rules.
Representative Ager, House Bill 931, Museum of Western NC Funds.
Appropriations of favorable rules.
Representatives Brockman, Hawkins, Candy Smith, and Hunter, House Bill 932, Body-Worn Camera Recordings.
Rules.
Representative Bowles and Hardister, House Bill 933, Alarm System Licensing Act. Revisions.
Finance of favorable rules.
Representative Hardister, Brockman, Hannick, and Willis, House Bill 934, Student Success Program.
Education K through 12, of favorable appropriations of favorable rules.
Representatives Faircloth, Hardister, Quick, and Brockman, House Bill 935, High Point Furniture Market.
Appropriations of favorable rules.
Representatives Arp, Blackwell, Clampett, and Paré, House Bill 936, Port Your North Carolina Trail, Greenways.
Appropriations of favorable rules.
Representative Alexander, House Bill 937, Automatic Police Body Cam Analysis.
Rules.
Representative Hawkins, Ager, and Brown, House Bill 938, Reduce Food Waste in North Carolina.
Rules.
Representative Hawkins, Ager, and Brown, House Bill 939, Food Waste Reduction Act.
Rules.
Representative Setzer, Zoka, Bradford, and Winslow, House Bill 940, Internal Revenue Code Update.
Finance of favorable rules.
Representative Setzer, Zoka, and Bradford, House Bill 941, Revenue Laws Technical, Clarifying, and Administrative Changes.
Finance of favorable rules.
Representatives Meyer, Harrison, Gill, and Autry, House Bill 942, Green School Safe Money.
Rules.
Representative Moffitt and Johnson, House Bill 943, Support Western North Carolina Institutions of Higher Education Funds.
Appropriations of favorable rules.
Representative Sane Clamford, Carson Smith, and Setzer, House Bill 944, Firefighters, Rescue Squad, Worker Separation Allowance, and Trust Fund.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representative Sane, House Bill 945, Esports Incentive Programs.
Finance of Favorable Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representatives Von Hafen, Hunt, Raymond Smith, and Hurtado, House Bill 946, Sound Basic Education for Every Child.
Rules.
Representatives Art Lambeth, Sane, and Johnson, House Bill 947, The Growing Rural Economics with Access to Technology, Broadband Expansion Act.
Energy and Public Utilities of Favorable Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representative Brockman, House Bill 948, Add Segregation School to School Report Cards.
Rules.
Representatives Rydell, Adams, Richardson, and Winslow, House Bill 949, Rehabilitation Tax Incentives.
Finance of Favorable Rules.
Representatives Gillespie, Sane, Farkas, and Ray, House Bill 950, Expand Broadband and Save Underserved Areas.
Energy and Public Utilities of Favorable Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representatives Arp, Zoka, Destin Hall, and Bell, House Bill 951, Emergency Energy Generation Study.
Energy and Public Utilities of Favorable Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representatives Brown, Ball, Carney, and Amber Baker, House Bill 952, Mental Health Triage Unit Pilot Program.
Rules.
Representative Brown, Cunningham, Carney, and Amber Baker, House Bill 953, School Mental Health Support Persons Fund.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representatives Warren, Moffitt, Hunter, and Ray, House Bill 954, Video Lottery Terminals.
Commerce of Favorable Finance of Favorable Rules.
Representative Farkas, Galliard, Cooper Suggs, and Hurtado, House Bill 955, Individual and Family Recovery Act.
Rules.
Representative Faircloth, Briston, Kyle Hall, House Bill 956, Outdoor Heritage Council Funds.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representative Zoka, Gillespie, and Goodwin, House Bill 957, Authorized Broadband Cooperatives.
Energy and Public Utilities of Favorable Finance of Favorable Rules.
Representative Hurtado, Kaler, Quarkus, Cooper Suggs, House Bill 958, Higher NC Workers.
Rules.
Representative Hawkins and Harrison, House Bill 959, Ban Single Use of Non-Recyclable Products.
Rules.
Representative Johnson, Winslow, Tyson, and Paré, House Bill 960, Career Path Options Transparency Act.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representative Candy Smith and Gallagher, House Bill 961, Oversight of Local Management Entities, Managed Care Organizations, Full-Time Employees Within DDHHS.
Rules.
Representative Faircloth and Bowles, House Bill 962, DOJ Budget Requests and Criminal Justice Fellows.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representatives Faircloth and Bowles, House Bill 963, DOJ Budget Requests and Sexual Assault Evidence Collection Kits.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representative Hawkins, House Bill 964, NCCU Programs Funds.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representative Johnson, Kyle Hall, Sane, and Reeves, House Bill 965, Small Business Innovative Research, Small Business Technology Transfer Research Incentive Modifications.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representative Hawkins, Hurtado, and Galliard, House Bill 966, Historical Black College and University Historically and Minor Serving Institution Funds, Advisory Board Teaching Fellows.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representative Hawkins, House Bill 967, UNC Community College, Hunger Free Campus Initiative.
Appropriations of Favorable Rules.
Representative Hawkins, Gallagher, and Hurtado, House Bill 968, Developing Representative Inclusive Vision of Education Recommendations, Teacher Diversity.
Rules.
Representative Gallagher and Setzer, House Bill 969, Small Business Truth and Financing.
Commerce of Favorable Finance of Favorable Rules. The following bills will be read from the Senate. They're passing their first reading and will be referred to the Committee on Rules. Clerk will read those bills.
Senate Bill 9294, Committee Substitute Second Edition, a bill to the Entitlement Act authorizing the Federal Public Works Commission to establish a small business enterprise program. Senate Bill 408, Committee Substitute Second Edition, a bill to the Entitlement Act establishing the Stop Addiction Fraud Emergency Act of 2021. Senate Bill 448, first edition, a bill to the Entitlement Act providing, in the absence of any objection to the Commission of Mental Health, Developmental Disabilities, and Substance Abuse Services for the automatic removal of Schedule 6 of the Controlled Substances Prescription Drug approved by the Federal Food and Drug Administration. Senate Bill 450, Committee Substitute Second Edition, a bill to the Entitlement Act to require installation of carbon monoxide alarm detection system existing in public school buildings. Senate Bill 582, Committee Substitute Second Edition, a bill to the Entitlement Act to allow certain individuals to adjunct instruction to kindergarten through 12 courses. Senate Bill 695, Committee Substitute Second Edition, a bill to the Entitlement Act to require medical condition act planning for certain students in all public school units.
Again, those were messages from the Senate on first reading and were all referred to the Committee on Rules Counter Operations of the House. Representative Richardson and Stevens are recognized to send forth the Judiciary 2 Committee Report. Clerk will read.
Representative Richardson, Stevens, Judiciary 2 Committee Report. House Bill 109, create partial release study of committee. Favor and refer to Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
House Bill 109, we refer to rules.
House Bill 234, assault LEO required expulsion of firearm. Favor committee substitute on favor is the bill and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, committee substitute for House Bill 234, we refer to rules.
House Bill 672, modified DNA evidence provision. Favor committee substitute on favor is the bill and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill unfavorable calendar, committee substitute, House Bill 672, rules.
House Bill 673, expand traffic stop data reporting. Favor committee substitute on favor of the bill and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill on favorable calendar, committee substitute, House Bill 673, referred to rules. Representative Torbett recognizes to send forth a state government committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Torbett, state government committee report. House Bill 336, adopt Osprey State Raptor. Favor and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 336, referred to rules.
House Bill 695, modified charitable solicitation licensing law, favor and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 695, re-referred to rules.
House Bill 746, POW MIA flag, state buildings and schools, favor and refer to home security, military, and veteran affairs.
House Bill 746, this referral to Homeland Security, Military, and Veterans Affairs is stricken and the bill is re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 756, state as a model employee, IDD, favor and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 756, we refer to rules.
House Bill 813, prohibit state agencies payment of ransomware, favor committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, committee substitute for House Bill 813, we refer to the Committee on Rules. Representative Dustin Hall is recognized to send forth a Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee report. All of these bills are being reported favorably and pursuant to the modifications to the calendar motion made in the pro forma session and consented to. These bills will be added to today's calendar. Again, this is Representative Dustin Hall, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee report. House Bill 109, Create Pretrial Release Study Committee, calendar today. House Bill 177, State Health Plan Administrative Changes Agency Bill, calendar today. House Bill 232, LRC Study Affordable Housing, calendar today. House Bill 234, Assault LEO Required Destruction of Firearm, calendar today. House Bill 336, Adopt Osprey State Raptor, calendar today. House Bill 581, Driver's License Designation Autism, calendar today. House Bill 599, Vet Military Free Admission State Attractions, calendar today. House Bill 626, Forensic Medical Examiner Costs Revisions, calendar today. House Bill 646, Dental Care Act, calendar today. House Bill 672, JPS Oversight Commission Study DNA Preservation, calendar today. House Bill 673, JPS Oversight Committee Study Traffic Stop Data, calendar today. House Bill 695, Modify Charitable Solicitation Licensing Laws, calendar today. House Bill 746, POW MIA Flag State Buildings and Schools, calendar today. House Bill 756, State as a Model Employer IDD, calendar today. House Bill 813, Prohibit State Agencies Payment of Ransomware, calendar today. House Bill 869, Consumer Protection Online Marketplace Disclosures. And House Bill 378, Durham Reduced Speed Limits is Favorable Committee Substitute on Favorable Committee Substitute, Favorable Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable Committee Substitute Number 1, Committee Substitute Number 1 placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas Committee Substitute Number 2 for House Bill 378 will be calendared for today.
House will come to order. House Bill 120, the clerk will read.
Representative Hardister, House Bill 120, a bill to be entitled an act to allow Guilford County to restrict the Chapter 105, Article 46, 1/4 cents county sales and use tax to the public school capital outlay purposes only. General Assembly of North Carolina, that.
Chair is going to displace the bill. I don't see Representative Hardister on the floor. Mr. Court members, the chair is going to withdraw House Bill 7 from today's calendar. The bill will be returned to the Committee on Rules. House Bill 200 is withdrawn from today's calendar. The bill will be committed, returned to the Committee on Rules. House Bill 204, the clerk will read.
Representative Hunter, House Bill 204, bill to be entitled an act to create Hertford County District H to authorize the levy of occupancy tax in this district. The gentleman from North Carolina.
Question for the House, is the passage on the third reading of House Bill 204. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Richardson, aye. Shepherd, aye. Setzer, aye. Clerk will wipe the machine, record the vote. 103, having voted in the affirmative and 8 in the negative. House Bill 204 passes third reading and will be sent to the Senate by special messenger. House Bill 206, the clerk will read.
Representative Winslow, House Bill 206, Lewisburg Economic Development Initiative. General Assembly, North Carolina.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 206 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Bowles, aye. Representative Carter, Representative Penny, Representative Dixon, Representative Hall, Representative Warren, do the members wish to vote? Representative Penny, do you wish to vote on the bill? The clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative, 4 in the negative. House Bill 206 passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate Special Messenger. Back to House Bill 120, back before us. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 120 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Yarbrough wish to vote on the bill. Representative Moss. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 107 having voted in the affirmative, 5 in the negative. House Bill 120 passes third reading. Will be sent to the Senate by special messenger. In fact, per the notice given yesterday, all messages to the Senate will be sent by special messenger, whether stated directly or otherwise. Representative Hall, gentlemen, be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 204. Mr. Court members, House Bill 599 is removed from today's calendar. Be returned to the Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. House Bill 123, the clerk will read.
Representatives John Rogers, Richardson, and Abe Jones, House Bill 123, a bill to be entitled Misdemeanors, Mandate First Appearances, General Assembly of North Carolina Acts.
Who's handling this bill?
I will, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from Wake, Representative John, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this bill comes to us from the Courts Commission, seeks to address the anomaly in our state's criminal procedure whereby an individual charged with a felony is entitled to a first appearance within 72 hours before a judge. There is no corresponding provision for those charged with misdemeanors, resulting in, at least in some localities, an individual remaining in custody, unable to make bond, charged with a misdemeanor and serving a sentence longer, or remaining in custody, rather, longer than the maximum sentence for the for which he or she is charged. Recommend the bill to you. Appreciate your consideration. Stand for any questions.
For our purpose, gentlemen from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, rise.
To debate the bill.
I agree with everything
Judge John, Representative John just said there. It's strange in our system that a felon pretty much has a right to go in front of a judge and get his bond reduced within 15 business days. A misdemeanor offense does not have that same privilege. So, and it happens very frequently. They'll sit there for well over a month for a minor misdemeanor. So this is a very good bill. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 123 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Hawkins, aye. Representative Quick, gentlemen wish to vote? Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 123 passes its second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
Joseph, no planning act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 123 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 123, having passed third reading, bill will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 392, the clerk will read.
Representatives Belk, Hurley, Gill, and Martin, House Bill 392, a bill to be entitled Receive Services Purchase Immediate Membership Services, General Assembly, North Carolina Act.
Lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Belk, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to take the time to thank my co-primaries, Representatives Hurley, Martin, and Gill. 392 gives our regular part-time state and local employees a way to participate in the pension system if they have worked enough hours to technically qualify as full-time in the previous year. I've been working on this issue because one of my constituents, Steve Sharp, was a local government employee who missed out on 4 years of credible service. His team had been misclassified as part-time, and even though they were reclassified, they had no way to go back and to get the credit for those years they had technically worked full-time hours. This version of the bill is a product of multiple discussions with the state treasurer's office when it was last passed unanimously in last biennium. The benefit must be activated by the employee for only the prior year, and the ultimate decision to recognize an error, misclassification error, is still rests with the agency head. I ask for your agreeing vote on this, and I'll stand for any questions.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 392 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will open machine, record the vote. 115, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 392 passes second reading. The objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 392 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 392, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. We're going to go back up to House Bill 324. The clerk will read.
Representatives Stain, Bowles, Yarbrough, and Torbett, House Bill 324, a bill to be entitled Ensuring Dignity and Non-Discrimination in Schools, General Assembly, North Carolina.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, has the floor to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring forth an amendment, please.
Absolutely. The gentleman is recognized. Send forth his amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Torbett moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 5 through 7, by rewriting the lines to read.
Chairman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And first, I'd like to say to members of the House, I'd like to thank Representative Quick, and just a little bit of thank you to the Minority Leader as well for helping me understand that language could be cleared up a little bit. So this is just a technical clarification on language referencing number 7, where it states in the new amendment that the belief that the United States is a meritocracy in an inherently racist or sexist belief, or that the United States was created by members of a particular race or sex for the purpose of oppressing members of another race or sex. So hopefully that clears it up and would move for the adoption of the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. The gentleman now has the floor to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, House Bill 324 demonstrates the General Assembly's intent that students, teachers, administrators, and other school employees recognize the equality and rights of all persons. Additionally, it prevents discriminatory concepts from being taught as fact or endorsed in North Carolina school districts. This includes being taught that one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex, or other related concepts that reduce individuals to their gender or skin color. To be clear, this bill does not change what history can and cannot be taught. It simply prevents schools from endorsing discriminatory concepts. At the end of the day, we should all be able to agree that no student, no teacher, no parent, no school employee should ever be made to feel inferior solely because of the color of their skin or their gender. Members, join me. North Carolina must have an education system that unites our children, not divides them. I stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 324 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. And the chair did notice lights came on after I put the question. I will come back on third reading to any members that wish to debate it. So we'll do that. Representative Ball, Representative Terry, Candy Smith, Representative Graham, the members wish to vote on the bill. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 66 have voted in the affirmative, 47 the negative. House Bill 324 passed a second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
For what purpose, gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry, rise.
To debate the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, when I look at a bill like this, I have to question myself, why are we having this bill before us? And I believe it's a reaction against the new and more inclusive social studies standards the State Board of Education passed. Our teachers need to be trusted to facilitate conversations about real history. And sometimes that may include acknowledging the histories of students whose stories have traditionally not been told. For example, Wounded Knee in 1890, or the Johnson County War in Wyoming in 1892. Where conflating racial analysis with racism is a way of protecting the sensibility of us white folk. There is a contradiction in a bill that promotes freedom of thought inquiry, yet lists things that cannot be taught. No one is being discriminated against or taught that they are inherently racist. This is simply a straw man. But I'm glad that this body feels a necessity to address the ethnic disparities and inequities in our society. I just don't think this is the way to do it. So let's not do it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Nash, Representative Galliard, rise.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. The first 24 words of House Bill 324 have me excited. Who would not be excited when you read words like equality, rights of everyone? And then in the midst of the title, a conjunction is inserted, and. And the 15 words that come after that conjunction basically create a prohibition that would guarantee the intent of the bill to create equality is simply not going to happen. I'm of the belief that race should inherently never be an advantage or a disadvantage for any group of people. Truth of the matter is that systemically institutionalized and normalized activity has shown that there's been an advantage toward groups of people. It would be reasonable then to educate everyone on the disadvantages that were caused to other groups of people. This bill suggests that a discussion or a presentation on the true history of our nation would literally conflict with equity and equality. The truth of the matter is it would help the conversation of equity and equality. Conversation does not contradict, it complements what we try to do. This bill is not about curriculum in schools. This bill is about climate in our society. We'll never conquer in our society what we don't confront. Line 24, page 1 of the bill, makes this, first of all, an anti-business bill. The reason I say it's an anti-business bill is because it prohibits the use of diversity trainers and consultants. These are common practices in business today, because businesses recognize without a conversation around diversity, equity, and inclusion, we can't expand our workforce. It contributes to the bottom line, and it helps companies identify their blind spots. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to create a generation of anti-business young people because they've been prohibited from the exposure of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Lines 13 to 16 on page 1 make this an anti-freedom bill. It champions things that we probably all agree with, things like intellectual honesty, freedom of inquiry. But yet the bill denies the very rights. It literally says respecting the dignity of others, but the bill does not respect the dignity of others. It doesn't respect the dignity of African Americans, and I would even argue it does not respect the dignity of ethnic groups who have a real story in America. This bill would suggest every time Italians want to share their story, if Irish people don't like it, it doesn't get told. If Puerto Ricans want to share their story, if Mexicans don't like it or their feelings get hurt, doesn't get told. If women want to share their story and men get offended, it doesn't get told. The bill strips the dignity of everyone. This is not a bill about education. This is a bill about emotion. Because when we look at our past and we look in the mirror at who we are right now, the truth of the matter is conversation around systemic injustices, they're tough. Conversations is around the residual impact of those injustices. When they get taught, they're tough. The reality of it is understanding the importance of diversity, recognizing the value of all people, it's tough. So this is an anti-education bill. It's an act that ensures discrimination and bigotry. That this is where we strip our children of the understanding that there are heroes and villains in the world. Where we strip our children of the reality that you can turn injustice into justice. Where we strip a worldview from our children where they no longer are taught to see race and class and language and gender and ethnicity and sexuality and age and religion. It's an anti-child bill. Page 2, line 5, item 7 that was amended. Talks about school systems and what they cannot promote. I would suggest this makes this an anti-American history bill. How can school systems teach that this nation was not founded on oppression? That would fly in the face of the 12 million African Americans that were exported, that were brought here in chains, not on a cruise ship. 12 million between 1450 and 1850 from Senegal, from Sierra Leone, Congola, Benin, Angola, brought here as people who are slaves, oppressed. That would mean there is an oppressor. School systems can't promote this, which means they could never teach our young people about U.S. Supreme Court decisions. The U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1857, the Dred Scott decision, a person who sued for his freedom. This is what the Supreme Court said that our children will never be able to hear in a history class. The Supreme called Dred Scott unfit to associate with the white race because he was of an inferior order. This bill is anti-American history. It would not allow teachers to be able to teach about President Andrew Jackson. In his fifth annual message to the country, this is what President Jackson said about Native Americans. They do not have the intelligence, the industry, the moral habit, nor the desire of improvement. They would not be able to teach about Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt had some strong words to say about Native Americans. He called them squalid savages. They would not be able to learn about states' rights. because in Arizona and Georgia and Idaho and Louisiana and Missouri, and I could go on and on with other states, all had a prohibition that white people could not marry Asian people. They were called mongoloids. But teachers could not teach that. They could not even teach them about their own North Carolina, because it took a state, the Supreme Court decision, to allow black people and white people in 1967 to be legally married in this state. They could not talk about the Georgia court decision that called people like me deplorable because I come from a biracial background. And you're saying, well, Representative, those are all so old. They could not be able to teach them about mortgage lending. In 2012, this is what the United States Justice Department said in their findings about mortgage lending. Mortgage lending discrimination, this is what they said. African American and Hispanic borrowers paid more than white borrowers, not based on risk, but based on race. If this bill was true, there would be no need for 1863 Emancipation Proclamation. If this bill had any merit, there would be no reason to discuss the 1964 Civil Rights Act. If this bill had any significance, there'd be no reason for a 1965 Voting Rights Act. We say school systems cannot promote the truth of our history. We've forgotten that people of color were perceived and dealt with as property and not persons. They were property. That's why they could be sold into prostitution. They were property. That's why there were breeding plantations. They were property. That's why you could pay, you could sell them to pay your taxes. They were property. That's why they could be used as collateral to get a loan. This is an anti-education, anti-freedom, anti-equity, anti-reconciliation, anti-business, and anti-American history bill. This bill is a give me the microphone back bill, because we want to talk, but we don't want to listen to anyone else. If some children can experience racism, if some children can experience sexism, if some children can experience classism, then all children can learn about it. Vote no on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, the lady from Guilford, Representative Clemens Rice?
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Members, you'll know that I don't speak often on the House floor, but this bill bothers me as an educator to my core, and I felt I had to speak. There are two parts that bother me, well, that I'm going to focus on. One is this idea of who and how the definition of what promoting will look like. And who decides what it means to promote a certain perspective? And the second is that we're talking about any curriculum, reading list, seminar, workshop, training, or professional setting, anything in our schools. When I was a first grade teacher, Kiana Cruz was the student who threw me most for a loop almost every day. And we were talking about presidential history for President's Day. And Kiana said, Miss Wheeler, why is it, this was when George Bush was president, why is it that there are no women or there are no black people who have been president? And I am worried that this bill would prevent me, as that teacher in that moment, from honestly answering that question. Because honestly, a lot of our history makes that true. The facts of our history have led to where we are. That white, until 1920, only white men could vote. White women could vote in 1920, but then people of color, not till 1965. I couldn't be the teacher Kiana deserved in that moment if I couldn't answer that question without asking myself, would this be promoting the things listed in this bill? And who is going to decide that? Is some other teacher or principal going to say, we believe you've promoted making someone feel discomfort? That word on lines 3 and 4 of page 2, that any individual solely by virtue of his or her race or sex should feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any other form of psychological stress, is the part that I really come back to. Because fundamental to education is discomfort. If you stay in your comfort zone, you are not growing. You are not learning. You fundamentally have to feel discomfort to learn something new. My dad's name is Grady Joseph Wheeler Jr. He passed away when he was 52. His dad was Grady Joseph Wheeler Sr. Both of them were named for Major General Joseph Wheeler from the Confederate Army, who's part of my family. I grew up seeing his portrait in my grandmother's dining room. And as I learned history as an educator, as a student, I learned what led to secession. I learned about this man, my great-great-great-grandfather, fighting against Lincoln's efforts to free the slaves. And I couldn't learn that and not feel some discomfort. And that doesn't make it wrong, because that's how I grew. I am worried that not being able to promote in the way this is defined, with who knows who being able to define it, could mean lots of our literature, The Color Purple, Their Eyes Were Watching God, Enrique's Journey, would not be supported in our schools. And the last point I'll make, teaching and leading our schools requires us to understand students' backgrounds that are different than our own. I have taught in schools, I was a principal, where there were 26 different languages in my school. Part of how you reach kids whose background is different than your own is you learn. And trainings and workshops are how you do that. I have to learn what it means for a 5-year-old who's never heard English to come and try to be in our schools if I'm actually going to love and educate that child. I have to learn what LGBTQ plus students are going through if my job is to learn and educate that child. And of course, sometimes that learning leads to discomfort, at times guilt, because discomfort is inherent to making progress, to making growth, to learning, and to who we are meant to be as educators. And because I am worried that we don't want, in this bill, we literally do not want discomfort, and we are leaving it open for anyone to define what promoting any of these things would be, that the teacher, Ms. Wheeler, and the principal, Mrs. Clemens, would have been second-guessing doing what I knew to be right for the children in front of me because of how this bill leaves our educators. And I hope you will vote no. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Pitt, Representative Smith Rice?
To debate the bill, Mrs. Speaker.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you so much. The only way to truly work towards unity and non-discrimination is to bravely and honestly reckon with our country's complicated past and present. As I shared last week, legislation cannot and will not erase our history. The conversation about race can be very challenging and uncomfortable, but it is necessary. For this body to create legislation that imposes an alternative version to American history, one that erases the legacy of discrimination and lived experiences of black and brown people, women and girls, and LGBTQ plus individuals, it indeed is sad, but it's a sign of the times. Spending time inciting a fear-based approach to limit teachers' ability to discuss the reality of racism in the United States would limit students' engagement with history, with current events, and personal health, and as well as their social and emotional learning. Whose truth is the truth? Whose truth do we want teachers to teach? That's all to say, what exactly is the point of this bill? You say that you're concerned that your kids will go to school and learn about race and racism and then come home a racist. But what does this bill do to address, to accurately and actually address racism? This bill spends a lot of time talking about what you can't do. As a matter of fact, there's an entire list of don'ts in this bill. But there is no mention of what we should do. Where's the guidance on unity? Where's the guidance on dignity? Where's the guidance on equity? I'm grateful that you entitled this bill with a name that promotes togetherness. But nothing in this bill speaks to how do we do that. And if you genuinely believe that the solution will come by just never mentioning the word racist ever again, you're fooling yourself. I really wish fixing racism was as easy as this bill makes it out to be. But we know the truth of the matter is, it's not. This bill is paramount to a book burning, in my view. A small group of enraged individuals are looking to ban an entire concept of thought because it makes them uncomfortable. The acquisition of knowledge is not a danger to our children, but the banning of these ideas for the sake of maintaining the status quo? Let's be clear. That will continue to endanger the lives of black and brown children across the state and across this country. So just because we pass a bill that makes it harder for teachers to talk about systematic racism does not mean that our children will not still experience that same systematic racism. Slavery and its legacy of oppression are not only a part of North Carolina's history, they are the reality and the experiences that black people are still facing today. And legislation like this only exacerbates the problem. A thought for all of us to remember. When you're accustomed to privilege, equality feels like oppression. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, I'm from Vance, Representative Garrison Rice.
To debate the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I think I understand perhaps the intent of the bill by the sponsor, but the reality is for me and for persons who look like me and others, there's a different take on it that you've already heard. This bill hamstrings teachers. It does not allow them to teach the truth, true history. It would prevent them from even teaching about where civilization began. You know, along the Nile River. I thought Egypt was in Europe somewhere. When I was taught at elementary school, I didn't know it was actually in Africa, in Northern Africa. Also, it probably prevents teachers from even talking about political parties, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. The Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln is not the Republican Party of the day. Freeing the slave was, no question about it, a tremendous social change in the United States of America, the abolition of slavery. The aftermath of slavery with segregation, Jim Crow, it was a reality. It was something that has happened. But it wasn't a Democratic Party that promoted that. It was the Republican Party. So, you know, how do you skew this? How do we ignore this? I recall when I was in college in a black history course, and that we had a transfer student, white student from Oregon. And as the professor began to explain how graphic slavery was. The young lady jumped up, started crying. She said, people couldn't have been that cruel. I believe this is not true. It didn't happen. She ran out of the classroom. Slavery was as cruel can get to mankind. I mean, our ancestors weren't considered to be human beings. They were considered to be personal property, not human beings. I mean, it's reality. How do you ignore that? The truth of the matter is, the more that we all have lived different life experiences and histories for the most part. And the only way that we can really understand each other with our differences is to talk about it, to learn about it. Teachers have a tremendous task, as already has been stated, especially when you have children of different backgrounds and different experiences. I recall back in the early 70s when I was teaching an ABE class at a technical institute, there was a story about a teacher in South Carolina who was teaching a child at the first grade, and she swore up and down that this black child was ignorant, couldn't understand anything whatsoever. And she says, so she sent a note home to the child's parent. The father came to the school to listen to what the teacher had to say, and she gave the same story. And she says, you know what? She says, he is actually so dumb. He can't even tell what color the sky is. And the father looked at the boy and says, son, high sky side. He said, blue. Well, it was a dialect problem. And this is what we're faced with today, a misunderstanding and refusal to understand. I think the best thing if we can allow ourselves to really, really try to understand each other, we can learn a lot. And I'm going to sit down in a moment. But one thing I'll tell you, just coming here as a freshman and as a newcomer, and even today, and that's the way the political arena is, even here in this body, as a former county commissioner, we associated. We sat together. Here, you know, you've got the Republicans on one side, the Democrats on the other side, and rarely do we get an opportunity to really associate. We don't sit together, and we don't get an opportunity to talk and to learn about each other's life experiences. I believe if we had that kind of experience going forward, we would be able to fashion a legislation that would better represent the interests of the citizens of this state. But as it stands right now, we're polarized. And I probably can't change it, but for me, that is what I see as a real barrier, even here as we do that. So I think whatever we can do more to try to learn each other, I think a better job we can do at fashioning legislation that benefits the citizens of the great state of North Carolina. Thank you.
For our purpose, I'm from Robinson, Representative Graham Rice.
To speak on the bill, Mr.
Chairman has four.
Thank you. And as I sit here and listen to the comments, I hadn't planned on saying anything, but I felt compelled to make a couple comments. First and foremost, I'm opposed to this legislation. I don't know if that'll make any difference to anyone in here, but I'm opposed to it. There are a lot of folks in here that's my age, and many of you were taught that the American Indians were savages. And when the representative was speaking about that, it really touched a nerve. And for this to come to us in the time that we're living in, and the support we need to be giving our teachers and our children and our administrators, to me, this is just a House Bill 324. Doesn't make any sense to me while we're trying to do this. We're trying to circumvent history is what we're doing here. But I want to set the record straight. I'm opposed to it for many reasons. And I think I just told you why I'm opposed to it. When I was in graduate school in 1983 at Appalachian State University, I went into a student's classroom. It was American Indian Heritage Month, and someone had asked me as an American Indian to go speak to a group of students. Watauga Elementary School, I'll never forget it. Walked into that classroom and children wanted to know about me, and how I was raised, and one of the questions I'll never forget, one of the students asked me, do you live in a teepee? 1983. You know, we need to understand what we're doing here, and we're circumventing history, and we're sending the wrong message to our teachers across this country, this state. There's more things that we should be spending our time on in this legislature. I don't know what inspired anyone to want to bring this to this body today, but let me just say this. It's wrong, and as far as I'm concerned, it's mean-spirited. We need to be teaching history. We need to be teaching about our black culture and what it's meant to this country, about our Native American culture and what it's meant to this country, our Hispanic culture and what it means to this country. It's been the foundation of who we are today. And I just need to stand up and say I'm opposed, and I think I'm opposed for the right reasons. And I would say, members, we don't need to go down this road. Let's correct history. Let's make history right. Let's teach our children to enjoy culture, to enjoy diversity, to understand how we come to this point in our lives and what those cultures meant to this country. So thank you, and I would hope that you would have some compassion and say, you know, this is not the time that we should be doing this. It's not necessary. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbert Rice?
Speaker, second time on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Members of the House, I hope you listen respectfully and intently to our colleagues' comments and opinions. I did. And I just want to state some facts. Once again, this demonstrates the General Assembly's intent that students, teachers, administrators, and other school employees recognize the equality and rights of all persons. To be clear, explicitly clear, this bill does not change in any way what history can and cannot be taught. What it does, it tells our children what we honestly owe them and grandchildren. And what we owe them is that education system that unites and not divides. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 324 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. House Bill 324, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 694, the clerk will read.
Representatives McNeely, Faircloth, Miller, and McNeil. House Bill 694, bill to be entitled an act requiring that employees who must respond first to emergencies must have health care coverage, powers of attorney. Johnson, North Carolina.
And on the last instruction, chair also directs the bill be engrossed. For what purpose, gentleman from Edgecombe, Representative Willingham Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's obvious that I've just been informed that I hit the wrong button. I should. It looks like from the information that I voted for the bill, I need to be marked as voting against the bill.
Is that on?
That's on 324.
Okay, gentleman be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 324. The gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, is recognized to debate House Bill 694.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to be brief. This whole bill arose from one of our own here coming and bringing this to my attention, Charlie Ensworth, Raleigh Police Department, nephew of one of our sergeant of arms, was injured in line of duty and also had a stroke and was incapacitated on arrival and laid in a coma for an extended period of time. His newlywed wife was unable to participate in the care that he received because of the lack of a health care POA. And that's what brought this about. It's a real simple bill. I really feel like everybody in the whole state of North Carolina needs a health care power of attorney. So I think this is taking a proactive step in getting all of our people who put their life on the line every day for us some more coverage. And when I say coverage, I mean in a way that they are able to participate. Their next of kin, their wife, whoever, and what happens to them when it comes to how they're treated when they arrive at a hospital or any kind of care facility at all, and they're unable to tell what they want done for themselves. I hope that you'll vote green on this, and I stand for any questions.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 694 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves, Mr. Vote. Aye. Quick, aye. Clerk Watt Machine record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 694 passed its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
Senator McClellan,
question for the House, passage of House Bill 694 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 694 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman Rice?
I was going to ask the bill sponsor a question, but I guess it's too late now.
Sorry. House Bill 703, Clerk will read.
Representatives Belk, White, Lambeth, and Carney, House Bill 703, a bill to be entitled an act to provide health coverage parity for breast cancer diagnostic imaging. General North Carolina next.
Lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Belk, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I want to also thank my primary sponsors, Representative Donna White, Representative Donnie Lambeth, whose office worked on this bill, and my fellow breast cancer survivor, Representative Becky Carney. Women currently have access to low-dose preventative screening mammography. However, if the mammogram reveals an abnormality, follow-up diagnostic exams are needed to determine if the patient has breast cancer. Those exams are not covered and require out-of-pocket costs. Approximately 12% of the women who have this preventative screening require further diagnostic exams. This bill directs that diagnostic exams and low-dose preventative screening mammography for the early detection of breast cancer have the same cost-sharing benefits under any health benefit plan offered in our state. It also continues to provide early detection screening for cervical cancer. And I hope that you will vote yes. It passed unanimously and enthusiastically in the House Committee, and I'll stand for any questions.
For what purpose, delay from Surrey? Representative Stevens, rise.
To see the sponsor, will yield for a question?
Representative Duff, yield. She yields.
Thank you, and I, too, am a breast cancer survivor. I really appreciate the bill. My question is, we're doing this of other insurers. Does this include the state of North Carolina that self-insures? And I understood from the physical note it didn't show any costs, but it certainly will be covering additional screenings. So has that cost been taken into account?
It has, and yes, and I've talked to Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and while they said that they would prefer to keep the cost-sharing plan, they realized after we had some really productive discussions, and they said that they understand that in the long run, that what we're trying to do is get early detection and prevention, and that this will save money in the long run and also, of course, save lives.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 703 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves, Representative Harrison wish to vote. Clerk Watt Machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 703 passes a second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
Joseph is not kind of next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 703 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 703 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. We're going to go back up to House Bill 47. The clerk will read.
47, sir?
Yes, sir.
Representatives Kidwell, Hannon, Carson Smith, and Goodwin, House Bill 47, a bill to be entitled an act authorize officials elected in the state to carry concealed firearms while performing their official duties if the official has a concealed handgun permit. General Senator North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 47 very simply allows elected officials to carry a sidearm if they have a current valid concealed carry permit while in the execution of their duties. This was asked for by many members of this House, the Senate, as well as the Council of State. I ask for your green vote.
Representative Smith and Pitt is recognized to send forth amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Kansas Smith moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 13 through 14 by rewriting those lines to read.
Lady from Pitt has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you so much. We currently have legislation that dictates where we're allowed to carry our firearms as concealed carrying elected officials. It is being proposed that we expand this legislation, which would give us the ability to carry our firearms within the premises of, on the General Assembly. This amendment respects that, but it ensures that these firearms are not carried inside the sacred space of our House or our Senate legislative chambers. We have armed police officers who do an excellent job outside of our doors. We also have our most capable sergeant at arms on the inside, making sure that our needs are met. So allowing firearms inside these chambers could prove to have some unintended consequences. And so my amendment addresses that we not carry them inside both chambers. Please vote yes on this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to ask that you vote against this amendment. This amendment actually creates a problem in that there's many members, probably half of us, that have to pass between buildings to arrive here to come into this facility, into these chambers. Last night, we didn't go out until well after dark. Many of you, I'm sure, had to leave this building, walk across the street, walk out to your cars, whatever, and I'm pretty sure you didn't carry a police officer with you. Wouldn't even be possible. So, you know, and they couldn't possibly protect each and every one of us in these transitions. There's also times that we may be out to lunch, as we did yesterday, where you would have gone from the chamber out somewhere to lunch and come back. You know, that it just kind of guts out the entire bill. I appreciate the sincerity of the amendment maker, but I would ask you to vote against it.
Question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Noes have it. The amendment fails. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion, debate. And if not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 47 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, the vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Again, the chair saw lights come on after the question was put, but the chair will come back to those folks to debate on third. If members wish to debate, it's a good idea to go ahead and have your light activated, because once the question's put, as we are, we have to vote. Representative Torbett wish to vote. Clerk will light the machine, record the vote. 71 having voted in the affirmative and 43 in the negative. House Bill 47 passes second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina.
For what purpose? The lady from Durham, Representative Maury Rice.
To debate the bill.
The lady has four.
And I'm sorry we couldn't debate the bill before this third vote because lights were on, and I'm sorry we weren't able to do it to hopefully convince some people about the dangers of this bill. And the danger of the bill is more guns don't make us safer. This bill is saying elected officials, in the course of their duties, official duties, can carry concealed guns. We're talking about county commissioners. We're talking about city council. We're talking about people right here in this body who we already pay armed security to protect us. Do you know how accurate you would be if you have carrying concealed weapon permit? How accurate you would be in an active shooter situation? When law enforcement, who trains in an active situation under stress and confusion, is not very accurate themselves. We are passing a bill that's saying, let's bring more firepower into every place of public business. Why are we even funding security? Why are we funding metal detectors? What, are we just wasting our time if we want to have everyone armed? I didn't hear there was any shooting last night after session. I didn't hear there was any shooting today when anyone went to lunch. We're creating a false narrative. But what we are doing, we are putting everyone more at risk. The more guns that come in, being carried concealed, that are left in offices. And in the event there is a horrible situation, let's let the professionals take care of it. Not those that get a carrying concealed permit, who pay their $15, who shoot at a static target 30 rounds, and have absolutely no training in real life situations. Please vote no on the third reading.
For all purposes, lady from Forsyth, Representative Baker Rice.
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Kidwell, gentlemen, yield.
I yield.
Yields.
So many of my colleagues on this side also carry, have concealed and carry permits, and I'm thinking about getting one because of everything that's going on. So my question to you, sir, is in the example that you provided in terms of us leaving this building and walking to our cars, or leaving this building and heading to the garage, to our cars, or back and forth, can we not, if you have a conceal and carry, keep your gun in your car if you're concerned about your exposure when you're not in this building to possible attacks or a need to defend yourself with a gun?
Well, I suppose you could keep it in your vehicle, as I do with mine, but I would venture to guess that wouldn't do me much good when I'm passing between the legislative building and the legislative office building. I can't run to my car, get the gun, walk to the other door, come back, and put it back in the car. That would be two trips, and I'd still be outside without a firearm. And I'm sure that the police can't protect me all the time when that's happening. So to say that, yeah, you can leave it in your car, sure. I have mine in my car right now. But if I need it going over to the LOB, that's not going to do me any good. If I need it when I walk out of this building and go off in another direction, which I've done, and actually have been accosted by other people outside the building, protesters who were seeking to become violent, okay? And I think me with my size, it was an ability to say, yeah, you probably don't want to do that. I'm not sure how that would work for you. Mm-hmm. So.
Don't let the size fool you.
So anyway, you witness, lady, wish to debate the bill.
Yes, sir.
Please recognize and debate the bill.
I just want to say again, this is very turbulent times for us, and I understand the concern for safety, and for many of us, it may be the fear of being accosted by someone who philosophically believes differently than us. As a person of color, I'm constantly in fear of possibly losing my life to an officer that may not be able to handle himself under pressure. And that's not all officers, so let me be real clear about that. But how can we expect to continue to give passes to people who are trained to handle pressure when they shoot their weapons? And yet, when a person has a gun put in their face, they're expected to remain calm. So my fear with this bill is that when pressure presents itself, if we are not a trained professional to handle that, my concern is that someone will inadvertently be injured as a result of firing their firearm in a pressure situation. So I would urge you to vote no for this bill, even though I'm thinking about getting a gun to handle the fact that if I walk up against somebody like Kidwell, my back can't take them out. Thank you.
What purpose, gentlemen from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise.
We're a motion.
Gentlemen may stay as a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the previous question.
Gentlemen's moved the previous question to House Bill 47. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 65 having voted in the affirmative, 50 in the negative. The previous question having been passed. Majority minority leader desire to take 3 minutes or just waive 3 minutes at this point. Chair will accept a waiver to 3 minutes. Question for the House. The passage of House Bill 47 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Ayes do have it. House Bill 47, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. What purpose, lady from Mecklenburg, President Carney Rives?
Mr. Speaker, my seatmate was talking to me on that last vote on second reading. I'd like to change my vote to a no on second reading for House Bill 47.
Lady will be recorded as having voted no on second reading on the 47. What purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones Rives?
I didn't realize this, but one of my colleagues said I voted yay. I meant to vote no on that reading.
Was that on 47?
On 47, yes.
Gentleman be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 47. Members are going to move around, try to take care of some matters that may be quick. We'll see where we go. House Bill 885, the clerk will read.
Representative Stalkers, Harrison, and Baker, House Bill 885, a bill to the Retirement Act, the enhanced public notification of discharges of untreated wastewater from wastewater collections treatment works. Johnson, no comment next.
Gentleman from Pitt, Representative Farkas, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I rise to ask for your support of House Bill 885. I'd like to thank my fellow primary sponsors, as well as Chairman Zook and ARP for their work on the Energy and Public Utilities Committee. Finally, a quick thank you to Leader Bell for his help, and Representative Dixon, actually, in the Rules Committee, offered a great amendment, which I thought strengthened the bill further. This legislation updates the public notice requirements when there is a sanitary sewer overflow, also referred to as an SSO, in North Carolina. Now, using data from the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, riverkeepers in my area had mapped out 22,968 SSOs in the state between 2002 and 2017. That's about an average of 1,500 a year. Currently, the only public notice requirements for SSOs over 1,000 gallons is that a press release has to be put in the newspaper. If the spill is over 15,000 gallons, that press release becomes a paid advertisement in the newspaper. That's it. While many people still rely on the newspaper, many communities, especially in rural areas like mine, do not have reliable and affordable access to this media. Plus, newspapers are not required to publish a press release. While the notice to the print media is still required in this legislation, this bill expands the probability that someone can receive notification by mandating the use of technology that we all use as a public today, such as posting a notice on the utility's website. And it also requires more collaboration with our local health department so that they can leverage their abilities in their areas. The changes proposed attempt to bolster notification without adding large financial burdens on any of the utility companies. Now, two of the most heavily used water resources in the state run through Pitt County. The Tar-Pamlico watershed runs right through the heart of my district, District 9, and the Neuse River watershed runs along the southern portion of the county. Both of those span multiple counties across eastern North Carolina. And regardless of where you live or represent, all North Carolinians deserve a modern notification so that we can all boat, we can all fish and swim without worry, and so that we know when raw sewage is in our water and when it's an issue. When an SSO happens, the public should be notified in a timely manner and through communications that actually reach people. I thank you all again for your consideration and ask that you vote green on this. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 885 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Meyer, Representative Hawkins, wish to vote. Clerk of White Machine, record the vote. 110, having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative, House Bill 885, passes second reading. Without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly, no climbing that.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 885 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 885, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Mr. Clerk, please count the chairs voting aye on House Bill 324. House Bill 109, the clerk will read.
Representatives John, Richardson, Ball, and Morey, House Bill 109, a bill to be entitled an act to create a uniform pretrial release procedure study committee as recommended by the North Carolina Courts Commission. General Assembly, no climbing acts.
Further discussion, debate. No. Question before the House. Passage of House Bill 109 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 109 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
The gentleman shows no client in that.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Wake, Representative John Rise.
Just thank the members for their strong vote on this bill, and I hope it continues. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 109 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 109, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. And members, the chair will assume that the chair knows that these bills have been on the, have been through, most of them been through a couple of committees already, and members have had a chance to read them. So if the chair sees no lights on, the chair will simply call for a vote, assuming that the members have had a chance to familiarize themselves with the bills and ready to proceed. House Bill 177, the clerk will read.
Representatives Lambeth, McNeil, and Hurley, House Bill 177, a bill to be entitled, an act to make technical, clarifying, and administrative changes to the laws relating to the state health plan for teachers and state employees. General Assembly, no client in that.
Gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, recognize the debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and colleagues, this is an agency bill. It's gone through a number of committees. It's no material changes. The State Health Plan Board endorsed it, as well as the actuaries who look at the funding of this plan, and had no issues with it. So I appreciate your green vote.
Question for the House of the passage of House Bill 177 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Meyer, Representative Turner, members wish to vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 177 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly, no client in that.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 177 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 177 having passed third reading. The bill will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 729. Clerk will read.
Representatives Yarborough, Hardister, Bradford, and Brody, House Bill 729, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to the laws governing charter schools. General Assembly, no climate acts.
Gentleman from Person, Representative Yarborough, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you. This is a pretty good bill that I'm very happy with. It has a number of small tweaks to the charter language. There has been some discussion, particularly about the section on counties being given permission to provide some capital funds to charter schools. Now, most of the time when you think of capital funds, you initially think of real estate and buildings. But we don't have a problem with county commissioners going to give charter schools real estate and buildings. Shoot, they barely fix the roofs of the buildings they own. What happened in my county was that the county commissioners had promised laptops for every middle school student in the county. And they passed it, they put it in their budget, and then after it was all said and done, it turned out that laptop computers were capital goods. And so the 30 or 40 kids in the charter schools didn't get one. County commissioners were disappointed. I think that the fact that charter schools have matured to the point where they're accepted across the state and have earned their place in our educational system makes it time to give the county commissioners the opportunity to do this. We've had a long night, and we've got a long night ahead of us. And I worry about my friend, Representative Pierce, rolling his eyes too many times. So, Mr. Speaker, I would like to make a motion to move this question.
Sir, has the gentleman has asked for a motion to for a previous question?
Yes. The gentleman has moved the previous question on House Bill 729. The motion is non-debatable. Those in favor of the motion of the previous question will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 61 haven't voted in the affirmative, 50 in the negative. The previous question has been adopted. Minority Leader wish to take 3 minutes or delegate it?
Yes, and I will delegate that to Representative Von Haven.
Representative Von Haven, recognize to speak for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had an amendment that I wanted to offer, and I will speak on part three of the bill. Taxpayers currently retain ownership of tax-funded capital projects. Most of the time, that's the county and the local school district. This bill section creates policy which would require taxpayers to relinquish ownership of those publicly funded projects to a private entity. This is an even bigger problem with a charter school when a charter school dissolves. Questions were asked in committee about the legal ownership of assets and what happens if the school closes. If the bill is sold at a loss, the county would take on that liability. Additionally, if counties provide capital funds to charter schools, this will place additional financial pressure on an already strained resource fund. We currently have an $8.1 billion unmet need in K-12 public school infrastructure. Diverting capital funds away from the county's statutory obligation will only exacerbate this dire situation. Counties in North Carolina did not ask for this authority, which would place additional costs and burdens on them. The North Carolina Association of County Commissioners and the North Carolina Association of School Boards have asked for part three of this bill to be removed. I ask for your support in voting no on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Sain has recognized the delegation of the majority leader to speak for a period not to exceed 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members. This bill, I believe, provides for you what could be. It's an option for your county commissioners. In my county, our charter school, where my son goes to school, and our traditional public schools work very well together. As a matter of fact, they work so well together that our traditional public school board often tours and talks with our charter school. It has two campuses. They started with one, they've grown to a second. People really like our charter school. But so do folks who go to our traditional public schools. We have saved money. We have found ways to work together. We have found ways to say that the charter school experiment is exactly what it's supposed to be. It's a place to find new ideas and to find new ways to think about things in an untraditional manner. This type of permission allows for that same spirit to continue. If your county commissioners do not want to participate, that's up to them. But we've seen in our county, which passed, a very conservative county, which passed together, our charter school and our traditional public schools working together, passed a quarter cent sales tax, where everyone in the county, all taxpayers, are contributing to a technology fund and a security fund for all of our schools. I think this represents just another opportunity where we can do things better by the students that go to our schools across this state. I appreciate your support.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 729 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk of Light Machine recorded the vote. 65 having voted in the affirmative, 50 in the negative. House Bill 729 passed its second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina.
For what purpose the lay from wait, Representative Von Haven arise?
I'd like to move to amend the bill on third reading.
Ladies recognize the debate the bill on third reading. I'll send forth the amendment. Sorry. Ladies recognize send forth the amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Von Haven moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 15, through page 2, lines 26, by deleting those lines.
Please recognize debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment would delete Part 3 of the bill, which grants county authority to provide capital funds to charter schools. I've already stated the reasons for this amendment. And, Mr. Speaker, I ask for a roll call vote on this amendment.
For what purpose, gentlemen, from call to Representative Hall rise?
For a motion.
Gentleman may state his motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the amendment do lie upon the table.
Gentleman has moved that the amendment lie upon the table. It's been seconded by Representative Bell. Those in favor of the motion table will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bowles on the floor. Clerk will light machine record a vote 63, having voted in the affirmative, 50 in the negative. The amendment does lie upon the table. Question for the House, passage of House Bill 729 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 729, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise.
When there's been so much activity, when this gentleman made the motion, I was over there and there was a big traffic jam and I didn't get to vote no on the, what was
on
it?
On the motion for the previous question on the second reading.
Thank you.
I'll make sure the way is recorded as a no vote on the previous question motion on the second reading. House Bill 842, the clerk will read.
Representatives Warren, Hannig, Penny, and Carter, House Bill 842, a bill to the entitled and act to clarify the law governing destruction of solar collectors, General Assembly of North Carolina, and act.
Gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, recognize the debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill simply gives some leeway to folks who want to put solar panels on their roof lines if they're participating in an HOA, and the HOA may have a covenant restricting the placement of those. This bill simply allows their placement to be realigned and the covenant kind of abridged if the position on the roof affects the performance of the solar unit by more than 10%. And, you know, in these times of the year when we were getting close to deadline cutoffs and crossover, sometimes you don't get to see a bill until it's right here on the floor. One of the members here on our side has made a suggestion to me of how we can make the bill a little bit better, and I promised to him that we would work on that together once we get over to the other side. So appreciate your support.
What purpose, gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, rise.
To speak on the bill, please.
Gentleman has the floor.
Members, residential solar is the future. We know that it's going to develop, and we're going to have to be part of that. I look forward to this bill when I first saw it real early, but I never had a chance to really read it until just recently, and it had a couple flaws on it. Basically, the flaws are in the planning ahead on it. If we're going to set up developments to accommodate solar, we do have to answer the questions about where on the property it's going to be, et cetera. Are we going to protect common areas? This doesn't mean that we're not going to do it. It means these need to be answered ahead of time, because if you don't answer them, you can have a nice subdivision with a big solar array right in your front yard. And now you can see the importance of that. But I agreed to work with them on it in the future, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing what comes back from the Senate. Sometimes we're surprised what comes back, but I think this one will be good when it comes back. And I ask you to support it.
For what purpose, gentleman from Currituck, Representative Hanning, rise.
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate Representative Brody's thoughts on this bill, and I just wanted to reiterate the fact that we will continue to work on it as it goes over to the Senate, and we'll make this a better bill. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, associations develop and publish their rules. People buy property and decide to construct there. This bill tells those private organizations going forward to change their rules, that's not right. I'm a no vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 842 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Davis, Representative Willis. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 83 having voted in the affirmative, 31 in the negative. House Bill 842 passes second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
Representative Nocline annexed.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 842 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 842 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 851, the clerk will read.
Representatives Harrison and Miguel Raff, House Bill 851, a bill to the Entanglement Act to amend the dangerous dog laws to permit the case-by-case determination as to whether the dog trained or the dog fighting is dangerous. General Senator McClellan enacts.
A from Guilford, Representative Harrison, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, you might recognize this bill because it passed this chamber 113 to 1 in 2019. All it does is clarify our dangerous dog statutes. An older statute says that if you bust a dog fighting ring, all the animals must be euthanized. A more recent piece of our statute says that any animal that has been subject to illegal treatment must be given a chance to be rehabilitated and adopted out. So this just clarifies that if an animal can be adopted out and rehabilitated, that animal will have a chance to live. So I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 851 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Adams wish to vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. House Bill 851 passes second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 851 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 851 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 581, the clerk will read.
Representatives Penny, Green, Miller, and Blackwell, House Bill 581, a bill to the entitled driver's license designation, autism. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Penny, recognize the debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 581 is an act to direct the Division of Motor Vehicles to develop a designation for driver's license that may be granted upon request, which is key to a person with autism spectrum disorder. A driver's license designation that may, upon request, be granted to a person with autism spectrum disorder at the request. It's in there multiple times. This is a voluntary thing. Any individual who chooses to register or not to register shall not be denied to have waived any protections under the law. Information collected under this subsection shall only be available to law enforcement and only for the purpose of ensuring mutually safe interactions between law enforcement and persons with autism spectrum disorder. It's entirely voluntary. It also has a portion in there that would require established minimum education training standards for employment and continuing education for criminal justice officers concerning both of the following: recognizing appropriately interacting with the persons who are deaf or hard of hearing and persons with autism spectrum disorder. We work with Monica Fuller from the NCDOT on the language of this bill, and I would ask for a favorable vote.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
To speak to the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor.
I want to thank Representative Penny for this bill. He's worked to work out the kinks with DOT, and I praise him for that, because, you know, similar in 2019, I had an idea about this, because, as you know, I have, you know, boys on the spectrum and engage across the state with people who have autism spectrum disorder and their families. And so bills like this, you know, make the interaction between law enforcement and those on the spectrum that much more safe. We know that law enforcement goes through training that is valuable to keeping everyone safe. But specifically, what's important about this is when they get a chance to engage, they already know that someone in the car has autism and has the ability to react appropriately. And that's golden, because we know that sometimes under pressure, a lot of things about the autism spectrum disorder can be perceived as being different, nuanced. And so making sure that we have that type of designation is something that we all need to be working towards. And so I also want to give kudos to the ongoing training for officers so that they can be prepared, and making sure that it's voluntary. I know we had some concerns across the community about some things, but he worked ensure that those were taken care of. And of course, it will be a continuing and ongoing discussion with the way that DMV is able to handle this. Making sure that it's voluntary, but also making sure that people that deal with the information are sensitive to the information, because we don't want there to be ongoing discrimination against those with autism spectrum disorder. And so I want to stand to ask everyone to vote for this bill, and hopefully it is unanimous. Thank you for putting this forward, and I ask for your green vote.
Members, the chair is going to displace the bill. Looks like there may be some technical questions there. I would encourage those members who have technical questions to talk to the bill sponsors. We will come back to it in just a moment. Let's go ahead and move to House Bill 756. Clerk will read.
Representatives Brandon Bradford, Lambeth, Moffitt, and Elmore, House Bill 756, State as a Model Employer, IDD, the North Carolina General Assembly enacts.
Gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Bradford, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this bill directs our Department of Health and Human Services, in conjunction with the State of Human Resources, to study and develop a program that would actually require our state agencies to look at being a model employer for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. You know, North Carolina is the largest employer in our state, and this bill was actually a result of some work that I did when I was a co-chair of the Legislative Research Commission on IDD, and this was one of our legislative initiatives taken away from it. The bottom line is North Carolina being the largest employer in our state, we really couldn't even produce any numbers showing how many individuals with disabilities worked in jobs throughout our state. And I believe North Carolina should be a model employer, because when that happens, then other businesses will follow, and they too will want to make sure they have positions to put individuals who have disabilities, who actually have very special abilities, into roles to work. This bill received a 106-0 vote in the 2017-18 session. I encourage you to vote for it, and I tell you, I am leading by example. I have Matthew Schwab, a young man with Down syndrome who works for my office. He's actually in the back with us in the chamber today. And Matthew is an incredible young man who is very talented, and he's just one example of many that can come into jobs and do very good work. And I think North Carolina has a real opportunity to lead this issue for our state, and I hope other businesses will follow. I encourage you to give this a green vote, and I appreciate all my other sponsors, Representative Lambeth, Moffitt, and Representative Elmore, for supporting it. Thank you. I hope you'll vote green. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
To speak to the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
I want to thank fellow co-chair of the IDD caucus for putting forth this bill. I say often that North Carolina is, and we know this, where the weak grow strong and the strong grow great, and that everyone should be able to maximize their God-given potential in the great state of North Carolina. And this bill absolutely allows them to do that. I had today, part and parcel in Durham County, open their doors, and they have a employee with autism who is going to be a full-time employee, has found that it's been difficult for her to find jobs, and that's the case for most of those with any intellectual and developmental disability. So many of them, especially our young adults, find themselves with lots of skills, but because they're a little different, they don't get a chance to give that potential to the world. And so I absolutely agree that North Carolina needs to set the tone. This particular bill codifies the executive order by the governor that says that we need to look forward to that. And so I appreciate him making this permanent because, again, there are so many people, not only with autism, but with all intellectual and developmental disabilities across North Carolina that will benefit. And hopefully the private sector will work even harder to make sure that they make opportunity and space for them. So I absolutely ask for a unanimous vote and ask you to vote for this bill. Thank you.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 756 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Bowles, aye. Shepherd, aye. Representative Tyson, wish to vote? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 115, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 756 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly will not come in.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 756 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 756, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 746, the clerk will read.
Representatives Goodman, Warren, Hannock, and Richardson, House Bill 746, a bill to be entitled an act requiring POW/MIA flags to be flown in state-owned buildings and public schools and the flag will be attached to existing flagpoles. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Chowan, Representative Goodman, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. POW/MIA flags. Yeah, I think everybody knows what they mean. This goes right in line with state of North Carolina being the best state in the United States for veterans. This bill will require POW/MIA flag to fly in front of state buildings just underneath the United States flag where it's supposed to fly. It will also require schools to fly an MIA flag. We talk about our children being left behind and not learning certain things. Well, imagine sitting in a classroom and you're a teacher, and the POW flag is on the flagpole outside. They've never seen it before. And the children say, teacher, what is that black flag out there with that white stuff on it, drawing? And that child will learn something that will stay with them for the rest of their life at that time when that teacher explains, that's for the soldiers who died, prisoners of war, and soldiers who are still missing. United States of America, we still look for our soldiers from World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, in the deserts. Everywhere we still look. We have three heavy clinics around the world, the best one in Hawaii, that goes around and recovers the bones and tests the bones with DNA now and can come home and tell a family, we have found your son or we have found your daughter. You can have peace. I think this is a good bill. It's something we need to do, and I ask for your support. And I'll stand for questions.
For what purpose, gentlemen? From Guilford, Representative Quickrice.
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Goodwin, gentlemen yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative, as a son of a Marine veteran, I certainly appreciate this bill. My question is about paying for these flags. I see that it says that the state shall purchase. Can you explain that process of purchase and where that appropriation will come from?
The state has a plan right now where they purchase all their flags for their state buildings. This will be a flag that they will purchase right along with the POW/MIA flag.
Follow up.
Chairman Neal.
Is there any approximation as cost for all the state buildings?
I do not have a fiscal report on that.
For what purpose, the lady from Waite, Representative Von Hafen, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Goodwin, Chairman Neal.
Yes.
He is.
Thank you, Representative. I, too, support the bill. My grandfather was actually one of the Doolittle Raiders and was a POW in World War II for 3.5 years. Without his bravery and coming home, I wouldn't be here today. So I definitely have a lot of personal attachment to the bill. But of course, my concern is putting on unfunded mandates onto our public schools. And there's no appropriation for our public schools to buy these flags. And it's just concerning to me. And I just wondered if Representative Quick had already asked about costs for the state, but I was wondering if you had any estimate for our school districts.
Well, I've looked and found I can't find anything separate out in the state budget that goes to the school said this amount of money is for you school system to buy your American flag. Usually the American flags in school systems where I live on the coast donated by American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, or the Boy Scouts and others collect money to buy that flag for them.
Further discussion, further debate?
Mr. Speaker, if I could.
Chums recognize debate the bill a second time.
Another thing that motivated me to do this was Representative Majeed.
I was asking a question to Representative Majeed. Is that what Representative Majeed, gentleman, to you?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Mr. Majeed, I know you probably saw more of those POWs and MIAs than I did during my time, and I applaud you for it. Representative Majeed and I have talked about that, and I told him if I ever wanted to fly somewhere, I'd ride with him. And if he said, if a fight broke out, I'm standing behind you. So I thought about you a lot because not many of us in here have experienced that. I thank you for listening to me.
Thank you for your kindness, sir.
Further discussion, debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 746 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Howard, Representative Vinsco, the lady intend to vote no. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 113, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. House Bill 746 passed the second reading. Without objection, be read third time.
General Assembly, no climbing now.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 746 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 746, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 813, the clerk will read.
Representative Hussein and Johnson, House Bill 813, a bill to be entitled Prohibit State Agencies Payment and Ransomware. General Assembly, no climb in there.
Gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Hussein, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members. This bill comes to us, ironically, in a week where ransomware is top of mind. We all know what's happening with the pipeline and how we got here. Ransomware is becoming more and more of an issue, particularly for state government and local government. We've seen attacks in Mecklenburg County and some of our school systems, and we really have been, held hostage, if you will. Working with our state Department of Information Technology, Representative Johnson and I have been working on this to prohibit state or local government entities from submitting payment or communicating with entities engaged in cybersecurity incidents. And part of that part of the reason for that is to make it unattractive to be a target. These criminals target folks that or target entities that have dollars to give up, and hopefully when they do that, hopefully from their point of view, is that they were able to extract the money from those entities. This would also clarify consulting and reporting requirements to the Department of Information Technology. Part of our problem is that we really just don't know what we don't know. Because, it's a little bit embarrassing if you're an agency that's been attacked. It's not something you want to widely report. But it also makes it very hard to know what we're facing. Our National Guard has a cybersecurity team that is very well trained, and they are activated often when you hear about these attacks. I know that Representative Potts called me one Saturday morning when there was an attack in his county, and our National Guard team was already on top of it, working with our state DIT. But they have to know, they have to be informed to know where they can help. And we had a similar situation with our sheriff's office. DIT and the folks did come to the rescue and make sure that we were able to get back online. Also, it will clarify DIT and Department of Public Safety's coordination to manage statewide response to cybersecurity incidents and ransomware attacks. Appreciate your support and stand for any questions.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 813 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Belk, Robertson, Hawkins wish to vote. Hawkins, aye. Clerk will machine record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. House Bill 813 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
Gentleman no climbing back.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 813 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 813, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose does the lady from Wilson, Representative Cooper Suggs, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I need to change my vote on 842 to a yes.
Could the lady repeat the bill number, please?
842.
They will be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill.
Thank you.
On 842. For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
I likewise want to change my vote to yes on 842. Thank you.
Gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 842. Members of the chair is informed that the bill that was displaced earlier may be ready to proceed, that there were questions that were asked that were answered. I believe that was House Bill 581. The bill has already been read. The bill is back before us. For what purpose, General Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate this bill. I have a lady in my church who has three autistic grandchildren. And one of them recently sought to serve the country in the United States Air Force. He lasted for 6 weeks of training, and during that time, his duty that was assigned to him was driving patients to the base hospital and back, that sort of thing. The only reason he didn't make it through basic was because the Air Force would not allow one of his medications that the Army would have allowed. So people, just because they have a difference about them like that, does not mean they're not capable. And I think it's great that we recognize when people have what we call disabilities, we also recognize their abilities. And I think this bill is good about that, and I appreciate it.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 581 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell. Bell, aye. Shepherd, aye. Candy Smith, aye. Is Clemens on the floor? Clemens on the floor. I don't see Representative Clemens. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 113, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. House Bill 581 passes at second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
Gentlemen, no climbing that.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 581 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 581, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 336, the clerk will read.
Representatives Miguel, Rev, Shepherd, Eiler, and Hennick, House Bill 336, a bill to be entitled an act to adopt Osprey for the Fisher Rector of the State of North Carolina. General North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Carteret, Representative Miguel Raft, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, we passed the same bill last session unanimously, and it's been through three committees, so please support the Osprey for the State Raptor. Thank you.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 336 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Adams, Representative Pickett. Representative Pickett, stop talking to that senator and vote. Representative Masheed. Representative Everett. Representative Lucas, wish to vote. Is Representative Everett on the floor? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 336 passed a second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
Chairman Senator North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 336 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 336 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 234, the clerk will read.
Representative Torbett, House Bill 234, a bill to be entitled Assault LEO Requires Destruction of Firearms. Chairman Senator North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question before the House. Passage of House Bill 234 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. President Brendan Jones, aye. Representative Robertson's aye. Representative Soka, recording. Representative Cooper Suggs, did the lady intend to vote no on it? It's fine if so, you're just throwing no vote.
Mr. Speaker, yes.
Okay. All right. The clerk will light machine record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, one the negative. House Bill 234 passed a second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
Chairman Senator North Carolina next.
For what purpose the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise? For what purpose the lady from Wilson, Representative Cooper Suggs, rise?
I forgot to turn off my light. I'm sorry.
No problem. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 234 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 234, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 232, the clerk will read.
Representatives Austin, Autry, Hardister, and Morey, House Bill 232, a bill to be entitled An Act to Direct the Legislative Research Commission to Study Affordable Housing in the State. General Senator North Carolina.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 232 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Insko, aye. Representative Fisher, lady wish to vote on the bill? Shepherd, Representative Shepherd wish to vote? And Representative Everett, Everett, aye. Representative Sasser, wish to vote? Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, two in the negative. House Bill 232 passes second reading without objection. Be read a third time. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 232 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 232, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 733, the clerk will read.
Representatives Carney, Lambeth, Belk, and White, House Bill 733, a bill to be entitled An Act to Extend the Terms of Members of the Advisory Council of Rare Diseases to Add to the Membership of the Advisory Council on Rare Diseases. General Senator North Carolina next.
Lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Carney, recognize the debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. This is we have established in 2015 a Rare Disease Advisory Council, and all this bill is doing is extending the terms of the board members, and also Representative Moffitt presented an amendment in rules to me, and I appreciate that it expanded the board by adding one parent of a childhood rare disease survivor. I ask for your support. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 733 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Majeed, Representative Cooper Suggs, Representative Gallier, Representative Insko. Where's Representative Insko?
Insko is
Representative Insko, aye. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. House Bill 733 passes second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
Yes, sir. No climbing.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 733 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 733, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, Chair would like to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a good friend, not only of this chair, but also of Representative Jones, and that's to Rob Davis, who's there with his daughter Lily, who is from Robinson County, and also the county attorney there. Rob, glad to have you here with us this evening. Please join me in welcoming. And on a personal note, he and I were in law school together, and somehow we both managed to graduate the same year. So, Rob, it's good to see you guys here with us this evening. For what purpose, the lady from Wilson, Representative Cooper Suggs, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I need to change House Bill 234 to a yes.
Now, wait a minute. Is that the one I asked you about earlier?
Yeah.
I gave you a chance. I even asked.
To me, this is late. I'm serious. I'm getting adjusted to all of this, but thank you, Speaker.
All right, you burned up about three green stamps on that one, but the lady will be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 234. House Bill 740, the clerk will read.
Representatives Turner, Green, Pless, and Farkas, House Bill 740, a bill to be entitled An Act to Establish the Rules for the Road to Respect the Merging and Dependent Merging Areas Required for Driver's Education and the Zipper Merge. Gentlemen, no climbing that.
Gentlemen from Representative Turner, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill amends the traffic laws for yielding the right-of-way to include an alternate merge, or also known casually as the zipper merge, and to add this method to driver's ed. So why is this important? According to the Institute of Transportation Research and Education at NC State, the zipper merge can reduce traffic backups by as much as 50% in areas where there are lane reductions or drop-offs. And according to Kevin Lacey, our state traffic engineer, the zipper merge allows both lanes to be used to their full capacity, greatly reducing the length of traffic jams, decrease travel times, and increase safety. This bill was done in consultation with DOT. It was reviewed by DPS and the State Highway Patrol, and there are no objections, and I appreciate your green vote.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 740 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Strickland, Representative Terry, Representative Harris, Representative Baker, the members like to record. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 110, having voted in the affirmative, 4 in the negative. House Bill 740 passed a second reading. Without objection, will be read a third time.
No climbing
in. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 740 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Guys, have it. House Bill 740, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, we're going to keep going. I want to advise the body of what I envision with our schedule this evening. We are getting close to being done, depending on how long the debate goes on these remaining bills. The chair sees no reason that we cannot conclude our business today with no votes necessary tomorrow. So we'll try to keep working through that and see if we run into any bills that take any extra debate, but that's where we are, and plan on not taking a dinner break. We'll try just to power through. Looks like if we may be able to get through this within less than an hour. For what purpose, the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, rise.
Inquiry of the chair.
Please recognize.
Mr. Speaker, do you have any update on that emergency rule implementation about the colonial business?
So we're not going to have any votes Monday or Tuesday of next week, so we're going to withhold on entering anything on that. So the soonest members will have to be back will be Wednesday. Hopefully this thing will be in the rearview mirror by then. If it's not, we'll deal with it then. We'll deal with it Tuesday.
House Bill 718, clerk will read.
Representative Candace Smith and Amber Baker, House Bill 718. A bill to be entitled Leisure Request Cosmetic Art, Jefferson, North Carolina.
Lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What this bill does is allows cosmetology and structure license requirements to be amended, because what we're having right now is kind of difficult to get instructors because they're having to work at the same time they're having to go to school, and they can't afford to leave their jobs. So we wanted to make sure that we made some changes that would allow them to be able to get their licensure to teach. So we spoke with the North Carolina Board of Cosmetic Art Examiners, and they gave us the recommendation of what to use, and I've seen no opposition on the bill. Thank you so much for your support.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 718 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Moss, Willis, Adams, Ray, Clark White Machine, record the vote. House Bill 718, having passed second reading. House Bill 114, the affirmative, none, the negative. House Bill 718 is passed second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
Jefferson, North Carolina.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 718 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 718, having passed third reading. Bill will be sent to the Senate. Let's try to take care of these two local bills real quickly. House Bill 185, the clerk will read.
Representatives Von Haven, Paula A. Ball, and Gill, House Bill 185, a bill to the entitled Act provide additional flexibility to the Wake County schools in adopting the school calendar. Johnson and North Carolina next.
Members of the chair, on motion of Representative Hardister of Guilford County, is honored to extend the courtesies of the gallery and the floor to Alex Cotis, who is a high school senior at Greensboro Day School and is doing his senior project on operations at the General Assembly. He'll be going to George Washington University next year and is here with us today. I want to please join me in welcoming Mr. Cotis with us tonight. And also, Alex is the son of Marty Cotis, who a lot of us know and respect so much, who's on our UNC Board of Governors. So glad to have you here with Alex. Certainly wish you the best next year at college. Lady from Wake, Representative Von Haven, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This will just allow Wake County to have the school calendar flexibility, and you all have supported all the other districts, so I hope you would show the same support for Wake County. Thank you.
Representative Hawkins, recognized, send forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Hawkins moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 2, by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentleman from Durham is recognized to briefly debate the amendment.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker. This amendment will just add Durham County to the bill. Thank you.
Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1, sent forward by Representative Hawkins. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. We're now back on the bill. Question for the House, passage of House Bill 185 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 185, having passed second reading, will without objection be read a third time.
North Carolina next.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 185 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 185, having passed third reading, ordered engrossed, sent to the Senate. House Bill 226, the clerk will read.
Representatives Brown, Carney, Harris, and Logan, House Bill 226, a bill to be entitled School Calendar Flexibility, Mecklenburg County, Jefferson, North Carolina, and
gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Brown, recognized to debate the bill.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I appreciate that. This is just a bill to give Mecklenburg County calendar flexibility to address the learning needs of all of our students. I would ask everybody to vote green. Thank you.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 226 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 226, having passed second reading, will without objection be read a third time.
Senator North Carolina next.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 226 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 226, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate.
Members, we're going to knock out two other bills, House Bill 600-801. Then we're going to take a five-minute recess, and then we'll start back up with hopefully the remainder of the business. House Bill 600, the clerk will read.
Representatives Graham, Rydell, and Hurtado, House Bill 600, a bill to be entitled an act amending the state recognition to the Okemechee Band and the Siponi Nation of North Carolina. General Assembly, North Carolina acts.
Gentleman from Allenance, Representative Rydell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, what you have before you is a bill that adds to Chapter 71A of the General Statutes that has the provisions for recognizing Indian tribes in the state of North Carolina. Currently, in that Section 71A, you have eight tribes that have been recognized. And of those eight, two have a little bit higher elevated recognition for this by the state of North Carolina. And what this bill seeks to do is take another one of those eight tribes, the Okemechee Band of the Siponi Nation, to let them join with the Halawa Siponi and the Lumbee tribe with the higher recognition. This helps in a number of ways, elevates the tribal identity and just comes in handy with some benefits and programs that they would be available to the tribe. So I encourage you to vote green.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 600 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and one in the negative. House Bill 600 has passed its second reading. Without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina acts.
Question before the House is the passage of House Bill 600 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 600, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose is the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Bell Price?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be shown as a no on 740.
Lady, we recorded as voting no on House Bill 740. House Bill 801, the clerk will read.
Representative Torbett, House Bill 801, a bill to be entitled an act to allow certain exempt organizations to conduct a game night in a location that is not qualified facility. General Assembly, North Carolina acts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 801 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Brendan Jones, aye. Representative Blackwell, does the gentleman wish to be recorded? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative and 3 in the negative. House Bill 801 having passed its second reading. Without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina acts.
Question before the House is the passage of House Bill 801 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 801, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, the House is going to go at ease for 5 minutes.
I'm good, thank you. But that all my children went to that camp, and it's such a beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. No, not those scrub oats. Do you ever read any of Hemingway? Do you ever read you know that part where he says most people are broken, life has a way of breaking most people, and most are put back and made beautiful in the broken places. I think he got that line from those real bad storms. You take those beautiful oak trees, tear the limbs off, and then they grow back and all broken. And it's all made beautiful in the broken places. And I know that's where he got that from. Because, yeah, we got a place in Ballhead. Have you been there? Well, you know that road you drive down the...
House will come back to order. House Bill 626, the clerk will read.
Representatives Richardson and Goodwin, House Bill 626, a bill to be entitled Forensic Medical Examination Cost Revisions, General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Any member desire to debate the bill? Not the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 626 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Chair's going to hold the vote open for just a little bit. Now a few other members were outside and still making their way in. Representative Baker wished to vote. Yarbrough, aye. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 626 passes second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
Senator Norcott, amendment.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 626 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 626, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise.
Change my vote on 729 to no.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 729. House Bill 646, the clerk will read.
Representatives White and Lambert, House Bill 646, a bill to be entitled Dental Care Act. General Senator Norcott, amendment.
Lady from Johnson, Representative White, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill just requires the health benefit plans coverage for medically necessary dental procedures that are a result of cancer treatment. I would appreciate your support, and the health care plans have had no opposition. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 646 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 108, having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. House Bill 646 passes second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Senator Norcott, amendment.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 646 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 646, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 672, the clerk will read.
Representatives Richardson and Faircloth, House Bill 672, a bill to be entitled National Director Joint Legislative Oversight Committee for Injustice and Public Safety to study the preservation of biological evidence. General Senator Norcott, amendment.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 672 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 672 passed the second reading without objection. He read a third time.
General Senator Norcott, amendment.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 672 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 672, having passed third reading, be sent to the Senate. House Bill 673, the clerk will read.
Representatives Richardson and Faircloth, a bill to be entitled an act to direct the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee in Justice and Public Safety to study traffic stop data reporting. General Senator Norcott, amendment.
And on that previous vote, the chair did see Representative Smith, Candy Smith, vote aye. She gave a thumbs up. Please count her as an aye on that last vote. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 673 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Sane, aye. Representative Davis of New Hanover, gentlemen, would like to vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 673 has passed its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Senator Norcott, amendment.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 673 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 673, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, for your planning purposes, just found out just a bit ago that that Colonial Pipeline is now pumping fuel again. So nobody's going to have to walk home, it looks like. So, for what purpose, the lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, rise?
Change my vote, first time ever. To no on 729. Thank you.
Lady will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 729. House Bill 695, the clerk will read.
Representatives Lofton, Howard, Reeves, and Moffitt, House Bill 695, a bill to be entitled Modified Charitable Solicitation Licensing Laws, General Senator Northland Enacts.
The gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Lofton, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I want to thank Representative Howard, Representative Reeves, and Representative Moffitt for working with me on this bill. This is a bill that we passed a version of last session. We passed it unanimously. It simply updates our charitable solicitation laws to help our nonprofits operate more efficiently. It does so by raising the threshold for the exemption from $25,000 to $50,000. It also has some provisions adjusting the extensions of the deadline to apply for the solicitation license to match up with the Form 990 extensions, and we'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 695 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Brockman wished to vote. Representative White wished to vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 695 passed the second reading. Without objection, be read a third time.
General Senator North Carolina.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 695 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 695, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 689, the clerk will read. 869, pardon. Thank you.
Representative Stevens and Reeves, House Bill 6869, a bill to be entitled Consumer Product Online Marketplace Disclosure. General Senator North Carolina next.
Representative Stevens, would the lady like to do the amendment first?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Please recognize, send forth the amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Stevens moves to amend the short title by rewriting it to read.
Please recognize and debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Organized retail crime has gone online for their black marketing, and what the amendment does is simply change this to a study bill because several of the stakeholders had concerns, so we want to turn this into a study bill. Ask for your support.
Question for the House, adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Stevens. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted and now on the bill. Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 869. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 869 passes its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Senator North Carolina next.
Question for the House, the passage of House Bill 869 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 869 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 378, the clerk will read. And the previous one were also being engrossed, then sent to the Senate.
Representatives Hawkins, Austin, Moray, and Reeves, House Bill 378, a bill to be entitled an act to reduce the speed limit to 25 miles per hour on the residential streets in Durham. General Senator North Carolina.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 378 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 378, having passed second reading, will without objection be read a third time.
General Senator North Carolina.
For what purpose, the gentleman from person, Representative Yarbrough, rise?
Now, I got a problem with this.
I was recognized the debate.
Since when do we set speed limits in cities with state law? And I have to drive through Durham every day. There's a major highway that runs right through the middle of a residential area called Duke Street. We don't need to be doing this.
Further discussion, debate? If not, question for the House, passage of House Bill 378 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 378, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, we have reached the end of the calendar and concluded our business this week. The chair has inquired of the rules chair, knows of no other business that will need to come before the body. Therefore, go ahead and repeat the plan for the next few days so that members will know. There will be session tomorrow, but there will be no votes. There will be session on Monday and Tuesday of next week, but no votes on those 2 days either. Session on Wednesday is very possible that there will be votes. Just watch your calendars and see where we are on those. And unsure of whether what we'll need Thursday. Where we are at this point, of course, is we are going to be waiting. We're working with the Senate to see where we are on a budget. The appropriations chairs are working through that process. So hopefully we'll be getting a budget from the Senate here in the not too distant future. And we'll be able to start that process. But I appreciate the body's indulgence. What I think this has probably been one of the more maybe unconventional, but I mean that in a very positive way, crossover weeks, because we didn't have to come in here late night. We weren't here in the middle of the night, early, super early morning. So I think it's been a good, productive week, and appreciate the body's indulgence. And again, I want to thank our staff, the central staff, our clerk's office, Sergeant Arms, General Assembly Police, and all the other staff who make this place so great. Would y'all please join me, in fact, in thanking all of our staff and the good job they do. Notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Inquiry, Chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the good news about the pipeline a while ago. I wonder if we could take a little credit for that, for the bill we passed a while ago about not paying ransomware.
There you go. Well, we looks like things have been worked out, so it's all good. For what purpose does the gentleman from Watauga, Representative Pickett, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, have submitting a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to be recognized to speak on the statement.
Chair directs that, and the gentleman has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today being the last day of National Nurses Day, I wanted to put something in the journal to thank all of our nurses. There's some of them in this room today, and all the great work that they have done, not only in this pandemic, but every day to take care of so many of us. It's just a small thank you to what they do each and every day. And all of you in this room that are nurses, thank you for what you do. And it's a privilege to me. I've known many nurses, and one of them very special to me passed away recently. So I thought that I needed to put this forward. Thank you.
Thank you. For what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett Rice.
For announcement, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor.
I was looking, thinking my colleague might do this, but he stepped out. Education K-12 will not meet Tuesday. So just watch your emails for future announcements of meeting.
For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl Rice.
Inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized. Oh, ladies recognize.
Either one. They'll all work. It's tired, man.
I've been standing up here a while.
I know. I just don't want to miss the opportunity to come to session tomorrow, so I wondered what time will session be?
It will be at 10 o'clock. Love to have you here. I'll be here. For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Baker, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor.
I would like to thank my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. With this being my first crossover, I didn't know what to expect. So I had a lot of anxiety. So I want to thank you, for being patient with me with all of my questions and my inquiries. And I also want to say to you, Mr. Speaker, that you have done a great job of moving the calendar. And I noticed today you didn't have all of your energy that you normally have, so I hope you take some of these days and get some rest.
Well, this is rest. This is great. This is like a hobby.
And also, Mr. Speaker, I don't care what Representative Kidwell says, nobody is scared of him.
Noted. For what purpose, the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
Inquiry of the chair.
Chairman's recognized.
Is there any sense, Mr. Speaker, of the volume of work that we've done in the last 4 or 5 days? It seems like it's been over 200 bills or so that we've gone through. Can someone confirm that?
No.
Clerk estimated about 180 bills.
180 bills. Okay. That's really good work by this body, and we had real deliberate discussion, so I just wanted to tip my cap for that, but I also want to stand for a point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. One thing that I have noticed just today, and I want to make sure that this body doesn't leave without remembering this, is that we have passed just today three pro IDD bills, intellectual and developmental disability bills, with the driver's license autism bill, with 801, and with making sure that we made North Carolina a model employer for IDDs. We even, through Representative Torbett, made sure they could go and have some game nights at their facilities. They can have a good time. And so this is just, you know, again, the good work that we are a part of in North Carolina is something that we should be proud of, because we're, again, making sure the weak are growing strong and the strong are growing great, that everybody's having an opportunity in North Carolina. And so I just want to make sure that as we end this week, we understand that it's happening for a lot of people, but we've also been intentional about helping those with intellectual and developmental disabilities participate in North Carolina. Thank you.
Yes, sir. For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Do not go to reg reform tomorrow. If you do, you're going to be awful lonely. The meeting is canceled. We're going to delay it a week. We'll see you next Thursday at 11 a.m. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
I just want to say, I meant to say this during the debate on a discussion on 581, that like Representative Hawkins, I have a autistic person in my family, and I appreciate the body passing the bills that we did this term for autistic people and people who have disabilities. I have a brother that I've known for however long he's been living. He's my youngest brother, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. For what purpose is the gentleman from Robinson, Representative Graham, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I also want to salute those school nurses. I had a chance to meet with some nurses this morning in Robinson County. It was very convenient with our session today. And it was very profound to hear our superintendent make a statement. One of the things he said, and I always remember this, is many of our students in our public schools don't see a health care provider and until they see our nurse. That was pretty profound. So I just want to say we just need to thank those nurses. They do a tremendous job. This previous year we know what they've been through, and I'm sure many have suffered COVID. I know one in my county is out sick with COVID. So I just want to thank those nurses publicly. Thank you for what you do. God bless you, and stay strong and continue to support our children. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, May 13th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Dixon, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, May 13th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
The clerk is directed to read messages from the Senate. All of these are first readings, and all of these Senate bills will be referred to the Committee on Rules, Counter, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 35, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled Act to amend the lawful age of marriage to 16 years of age or older, and to provide the maximum four-year age difference for 16 and 17-year-old to marry. Senate Bill 145, First Edition, a bill to be entitled Act authorizing the City of Winston-Salem to convey city-owned real property to the purpose of increasing the supply of affordable housing for low or moderate-income persons. Senate Bill 221, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to allow for continuances for certain local government board of adjustments proceedings where one or more parties of the proceedings are not consistent with the virtual meeting. Senate Bill 300, Committee Substitute Number 2, Fourth Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to increase protection, training, and oversight for the state and local enforcement officers to create a decertification database to require the use of Federal Bureau of Investigation, Next Generation Identification System, and RAPBAC service for enforcement et al. Senate Bill 311, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act prohibiting membership waiting period for law enforcement officers under the local governmental employees retirement system. Senate Bill 458, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize the reinstatement of Mountain Island Lake Marine Commission. Senate Bill 628, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to require the use of native North Carolina plants to seize the state property of highways on local projects to use state funds for landscaping. And Senate Bill 668, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize the collection of additional contributions from employee units and address responsibilities for contribution-based benefit cap liabilities when the final employee of a member is not the member employee for average final compensation calculations and to adjust the formula for reduce retirement with distribution-based benefit cap liabilities under the Teachers and State Employees Retirement System and the Local Governmental Employees Retirement System to put the litigation caused in place to establish work group and may report to the General Assembly and to provide early notification of the Local Government Commission for the purpose of financial arrangements.
Again, those were messages from the Senate on first reading, all referred to the Committee on Rules. Reading of a representative statement.
A representative statement observing National Nurses Week. Whereas National Nurses Week is observed each year beginning on May 6th and ending on May 12th, the birthday of Florence Nightingale, the founder of modern nursing. And whereas National Nurses Week is a time to express appreciation for more than 4 million nurses registered in the United States for their enormous contributions to health care. And whereas during this week-long celebration of all nurses, some days also enlight specific nurses, May 6th is recognized as the National School Nurse Day, May 8th is acknowledged as National Student Nurses Day, and May 12th is observed as International Nurses Day. And whereas Nurses Week also raises the awareness of nurses' career choices. And whereas as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, nurses were met with significant challenges such as limited interaction with their patients and their patients' families. The pandemic also brought attention to the increased physical and mental needs of nurses. And whereas despite the difference of the pandemic, nurses performed their duties with compassion and care while devoting their lives to betterment of others. Now therefore, it is extremely important to express appreciation to all the nurses in the state and the outstanding job they perform on a daily basis, and to further applaud them by observing May 6th through 12th as National Nurses Week. A witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 12th day of May 2021, submitted by Representative Ray Pickett, James White, House Principal Clerk.